This time of year is amazing. It's a time when we remember, a time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, of God's Son coming into the world. And there are so many good things that we can explore as we reflect on that moment that changed history forever. Last Sunday, in our all-age service, we were looking at the actual events that surrounded the birth of Jesus, the nativity story, the people involved, what was going on, with this newborn baby at the center of it all. And we were reminded of the reality of God being with us and the hope that this brings into our lives. And yesterday at the Christmas Ark, we reflected on that story again, thought of the hope that is found in Jesus, how he opens people's eyes to understand God, to recognize sin, to recognize the love that God has for us, and so much more. But this morning, what we're going to do is think a bit about the story behind the story. As we think about what was involved in the Son of God becoming one of us, of God stepping down into this world, into all its mess and confusion. And we see that spelled out at the end of the passage that Irene read. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And earlier in the chapter, there are lots of references to someone initially referred to as the Word. I'd encourage you, when you get home, take time to read and reflect and to think about these amazing words, these 14 verses at the beginning of the gospel. And there's lots of these references to the Word, who he is, his existence from the beginning. That he was God, and he was with God. He made everything that exists. He was the source of life. He was the one who gave light to humanity. Wonderful things about the Word. And then in verse 14, we find that this eternal, all-powerful being chose to become one of us, to take on humanity, to live among us. And as I was thinking about this over the last week or so, I was reminded that this is actually a much deeper and intimate example of something that God had been doing for thousands of years. Coming alongside his people, entering into their situation. And this morning, we're going to look at just a few of those ways as reminding ourselves of different ways God chooses to come into people's situations. And as we do so, to recognize that God still chooses to come into people's situations today. And as we look at these different biblical stories and think about what was going on and the context for these people, you might find yourself saying, actually, I resonate with their situation at that time. And maybe there's an opportunity for you to experience God as they did in their context. The story of what happened in the Garden of Eden is one of those well-known stories in the Bible. It includes a serpent, trees, fruit, Adam and Eve. It's where we read about the first time humanity decided to choose to follow their own desires instead of being obedient to what God had commanded. It results in shame, exile from paradise, the prospect of death. A sad, sad moment after there had been so much promise and hope. But then something happens. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God comes into the garden. He walks there in the cool of the day. And this suggests, I think, that this was a regular routine, that God, maybe each day, would step down into the garden, would meet with the man and woman, and talk with them. What a wonderful experience that would have been. But on this occasion, after knowing that they'd fallen short of what God had told them to do, the man and his wife were ashamed, and they tried to hide themselves, resulting in God having to call out to them to start a conversation. This story tells us many things. I want to suggest two of them this morning. One is that God has a desire to spend time with his people. And that includes us. And that even when we have messed up, God still comes into our situations. God still seeks us out. God still desires to draw us into conversation. This morning, are any of us in that position where we just know we have messed up, where we've not been faithful to what God has called us to be and to do, where we've disobeyed him because we wanted to follow our own desires and we feel ashamed, we just want to hide away, concerned about what he might say? And if you're in that situation, I'd encourage you to be prepared to be open to God, to seek him out, respond to him seeking you out, to ask him for help to restore that relationship with him that you know has been damaged. Not destroyed, but damaged. There may be words of correction, there may be words of challenge, there was for Adam and Eve. But God is a God who loves to reach out to his failing people and draw them back into relationship with him. There was another time when God stepped down into the world. This was to promise a great blessing on an old couple who were sort of getting towards the latter part of their lives and they hadn't been able to have a child together. And the Lord says to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' I will return to you at the appointed time next year and Sarah will have a son." In this story, Abraham, the great father of the nation of Israel, is sitting by his tent at around midday when three visitors approach him. As the customs of his day required, Abraham stepped up as a good host. He offered them water. He offered somewhere to sit and to rest. He offered them a meal. We find out later that one of the visitors was God himself, who, while they were there, promised that Sarah would have a son the following year. This was not what Abraham and Sarah had been expecting when they got up that morning. And it took them a bit of time to get their heads around it. When God comes and speaks words of blessing over our lives, when God comes and speaks words of promise over our lives, how do we respond? Do we accept it in faith, even if we have no idea how it can become true? Or do we respond to God in unbelief because of our own ideas and understanding of how the world works and what we know is possible? When God steps in, everything is different. And it's so good when we can recognize that and accept that in simple faith, his word to us is true. Are we prepared to do that? What difference would it make to our lives if we were? But God's stepping into the world isn't always about bringing blessing directly. Sometimes it can be in response to sin and the wrong things we see around us. And just after speaking those words of promise and blessing to Abraham and Sarah, God continues in conversation with Abraham about the wickedness in places called Sodom and Gomorrah. He says the outcry against these cities, against Sodom and Gomorrah, is so great and their sins so grievous that I will come down and see if what they've done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. There were reports of really bad things taking place in these cities, and God speaks of hearing those reports and coming down to look into what was going on. And this does not engage with questions like, but doesn't God know everything anyway? Why did he have to come down to find out? It speaks about a natural response to hearing of something that doesn't sound right. And the next thing we know is that God and Abraham are in conversation about this trouble spot, this place where things were not right. God speaking about bringing judgment. Abraham speaking to God on behalf of the people who live there. There's a real conversation with God, listening to what Abraham is saying and responding to it. This story tells me that God is interested in what is going on in our world, in his world, the world that he created. It tells me that God steps down into this world. He engages with what is going on. And his heart will be grieved by so much of what was going on, what is going on in this world at this time. And our privilege, our responsibility as the people of God, is to engage in conversation as Abraham did, to speak with him, to plead with him on behalf of our sad and broken world. We have that opportunity as we spend time with God. Hundreds of years later, when the descendants of Abraham are in slavery in Egypt, God steps down into the world again. I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out. I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land. God has heard what is going on. God is concerned about their situation. So he comes down to rescue them and bring them out into a good land, a place of blessing. Are you going through a particularly difficult time at this moment? And you just feel alone? Maybe you feel that God doesn't care. This story reminds us that God is aware, that God does know, that God does care, and that God can choose to step in to bring comfort and healing and blessing. This story is not a guarantee that God will act in the particular way we want and when we want it in our specific situation. The people of Israel have been in slavery for over 400 years before God stepped in. But it can give us hope as we recognize that God is on our side and that he cares and he steps in. We could continue to look through the biblical story. We could see where God steps down into the lives and situations of his people to challenge, to bless, to encourage, to save. Wonderful stories. Stories that point us to hope, to trust, to wait on God, to cry out to him. But back to the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And here we see something that is even more wonderful and intimate than those stories we see in the Old Testament. God is not just coming down into our situation and walking alongside us. God, in the person of his Son, is coming down into our dark and sinful world and becoming one of us, taking on humanity, becoming Jesus, exposing himself to all the realities and experiences of human life. And many of the things we have seen in the Old Testament in those stories of God stepping in are still present. And as we read the gospel stories, we see times when Jesus spends time with his people and points them to a better way of living, where he speaks words of blessing and promise, where he challenges what is wrong, where he calls people to turn back to God, where he acts to rescue and save and heal those who are lost and struggling and alone. Jesus doing all of those things that God had done in the past. Things that had spanned hundreds of years, suddenly demonstrated in powerful and new ways in those 3 years of public ministry. God acting wrapped up in the body of a real, living, breathing human being. One who has fully identified himself with us. And this story, this reality, brings with it a real hope that things can get better, that problems can be overcome, that relationships can be restored, that we do not need to be alone. Because God's Son stepped into the world and became Jesus. This continues to be the story behind the story of Christmas. The behind the manger, the shepherds, the wise men. Behind the tinsel, the presents, the decoration, is someone, God himself, present as a man, who's chosen to step down into the world and to take up residence among us. This is the hope of Christmas. This is what we are privileged to recognize and rejoice in. And so, as we continue our preparation, let's be prepared to bring ourselves, our situations, our failings, our questions, our doubts to this Jesus and ask him to move in our lives in restoration and in blessing and in hope. And we can be confident that he will, as we have seen God doing so in so many ways in the past, as we saw Jesus doing in so many ways while he was walking here on earth, and often in our own experiences. It does not end there. The Jesus whose birth we celebrate at Christmas died on a cross at Easter, was restored to life, and returned to his heavenly Father in heaven. And just as God made his dwelling amongst us in the person of Jesus, we can look forward to a time when God will come among his people again and dwell amongst them again. I heard a loud voice from the throne, John says. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. Dwell among them. It's the same word that we get in John 1:14. It's the same idea. The reality of God being in the center, at the center of his people. And just as we wait to celebrate the birth of Jesus into the world, so we wait for that time when he will return and establish God's rule on earth forever. And we will experience God among us in a deeper way than anything we can experience today. All of this is possible because the Son, the Word, was willing to take on flesh and become one of us. There was no other way in which God's plans and purposes to bless his people could be achieved. But no other way was needed, because the Son of God was willing to come into this world, to take on humanity and become one of us. Let's rejoice in that. Let's celebrate as we prepare for Christmas. It's an interesting question being posed. Should we expect God to respond to the misery and evil in the world before Jesus comes again? I think the demonstration of what God has done in the past says that yes, that is reasonable to expect. We see in the Old Testament that God does respond to misery and evil. We see in the life of Jesus that he does respond to misery and evil. But Jesus does also say that war and trouble will be with us forever. And those two things need to be held together. And that time when Jesus returns is the time when his kingdom will be established, and pain and suffering and sorrow will be accomplished. It will not be fully accomplished until that time. But yes, God does continue to intervene and respond. But in so many situations, he chooses to do that through his people. People like us. People who have experienced something of God's love for ourselves. And who are called to share that love with others. We saw that worked out over the last week or so, when over 50 families in this area received Christmas hampers from this church, with the contents mainly donated by people from this church, bringing a moment of blessing into lives that can be so hard. And we see this in so many ways, small and large, as God's people are agents of God's blessing to the world around. So yes, I think we can expect God to respond to the misery and evil in the world. But I also think that God expects us to respond to the misery and evil in the world as we partner with him in the work of ushering in his kingdom. We're going to pray, and then Chris and the band are going to lead us in a final song that just encourages us to be quiet and reflect on that moment when Jesus was born. Father, I want to thank you that as over the centuries you have stepped in to different situations in our world, I want to thank you that there was a moment in history when you stepped in a deeper, a more intimate, a more personal way, when in the person of your Son and in the person of Jesus, you chose to become one of us. And I thank you that because of that, we have been drawn back into relationship with you, and we can experience you in a powerful and life-changing way. And we have the opportunity to share that with those we spend time with and those who are struggling in this world. We thank you that there was a moment when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Encourage us in you, encourage us in him. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, and help us to be agents of your blessing at this Christmas time. We give you thanks. Amen. Thanks, guys.